background. I was reminded of something Dave and I have been reading, and I really felt the Lord wanted me to come up and share it. And it's in the Bible readings by Dr. Michael Jass. Some of you may have already been using them. But he gave the story of he was on a punt one day in Cambridge, and the, what do they call the thing they stick in the water? That thing got stuck in the mud, and he was hanging on to the pole, and then the punt was drifting away from him, and he found his feet not on the punt at all, and the pole going down. And at that point, he grabbed onto a branch that was hanging over, quite a small branch, but enough to just hold him. And because of that branch, he was able to get himself to the bank of the river. And when he got to the bank of the river, he discovered it was the branch of a very large tree. And his message was, cling on to what you know of God, no matter how small that seems, because what you have not yet discovered is so much greater than what you are clinging on to. And I just thought that was going along with what Judith was saying. So cling on to what you know of God, because there's so much more to discover of him.
Thanks, Eileen. And believing and clinging on to God. I'm going to spend a moment or two, just a moment of confession as we come before God. And he used.
The reading is written in 1 Kings 18, verses 20 to 39. King Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us, let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "O Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought, or busy, or travelling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench round it large enough to hold 2 seers of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. This is the word of the Lord.
So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for all that it means to us, that it's useful for teaching and correcting and rebuking, and to bless us. So Lord, we pray by your Spirit, would you speak to us, encourage us and equip us for this week, this month, these years ahead. In Jesus' name. Amen. Morning. 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 Now, the thing that I love, and the other preachers at St. John's with St. Mary's get a little bit frustrated, is that I always seem to get the most amazing passages. Unless it's just me, that every time I get given these verses to do, that I'm like, yeah, this is good. But even Judith said this morning, because there's two passages I could have picked from, John or this one. And you already knew well before I texted you back, didn't you? That I was going to pick this one. This is an incredible passage. An incredible story of what God has done and what God can do today. Don't worry, at the end of the service, we're not going to get some water and things like that. Unless someone feels a word. It's not a bad idea, is it? We could give it a go. It'd save us rebuilding the roof if we just had some fire, wouldn't it? No. Don't record that bit, please, Andrew. We'll chop that out. Now, I love this because it helps to make some of the big things of faith seem so easily accessible. And it shows us it on such a grand scale. So Elijah had this massive task ahead of him. He'd been asked, like so many other people in the Old Testament, to go tell the people to repent. I, the Lord your God, are sending you to tell them to repent. The time is at hand. They need to get themselves sorted. Now we saw in that very first few words that Elijah was the last prophet left. And the people he was about to walk up to had 450 prophets. 450. And they were just the prophets. There were king. There was the whole nation around. But God had called him for a very specific task. Now, I don't know about you, but some of us can get nervous about telling one person to repent. We can get nervous going up to one of our closest friends or our family and saying, God is saying that you need to change. You need to stop doing that and you need to recognize who he is. Like, it's not always that we need to tell them to repent. It's like, this is a little bit of a problem. Or you need this encouragement. We get really flustered by it with our closest friends. But Elijah was in this predicament of being told by the Lord, the God of Abraham and Jacob and Israel, go tell the whole nation to repent. But here he stands, this whole nation in front of him, and one who wants to kill him. And he's got two choices, two very simple choices. And these are choices that we face each and every day. Whether he follows God or whether he follows man. He gave that option to the Baalites. He said, you either need to follow the God, capital G, or you need to follow somewhere else. So there he was. I know which one seems easiest to me, following Baal. Because following God can be really difficult. It doesn't suddenly make life perfect or easy. Elijah had a tough old life. Have we ever taken that easy option, like they were doing at that time? I know that I have at occasions. Because we're forgiven people, we're not perfect people. But God had spoken to Elijah. He had to trust him that God would answer. So here Elijah calls the king, the nation, to this test. And I love it. If I went up to a friend and said, okay, I'll challenge you. I've got this test to show you God's real. We're going to build two altars and we're going to see which one sends fire down. Is it whoever you think or is it the one that's real? So 450 of prophets against the one servant of the Most High. Now this is where God's plan gets a little strange, as it often does. Anyone think God's plan's strange? Yeah. We'll come to that in a minute. Because it often does. We know what we're meant to do, but the end destination isn't always what we expect. Now Elijah knew he had to go and challenge these prophets. He didn't know how God was going to answer. He knew that he had to do it. Now, I always like to make sure that we don't just look at the story, but we look at what life is to us. Now, I've been going through a weird plan. God's strange plan for my life. And I know many of you have been praying, and some of you even know the outcome now, that I went for my final interviews for ordination, and they've not recommended me at this time. So I'm now on hold for at least another 2 years, should that be where God's calling me. Now I knew right in my heart that that is what I believed God was calling me to. The last 5 years of my life have been spent pursuing this call, pursuing God's plan, listening to him and saying, what do I need to do? What's the next step? Now it's not been an easy call. I've been rejected along the way in the past. I've been challenged on ways that I live, the way that I look at ministry, the way that I look at vicars, the way that I look at churches and communities. And in all honesty, when I heard the news a couple of weeks ago, I could have spat my dummy out. I could have thrown the baby out with the bathwater and all the other expressions we know. But I didn't. I knew that I'd followed God's plan. I knew in that moment that I'd done what I was meant to do. And I knew that God was still in charge. Because if someone had said 5 years ago, at the end of this, you're not going to get through, I'd have been devastated. But I wasn't. Because as I reflect on the last 2 years at least, since I was rejected the first time, if I'd not been pursuing, I wouldn't have come back to Mansfield. I wouldn't have been here at St. John's with St. Mary's. I wouldn't have been able to share life with you. I wouldn't have been back and met Beck and being married on December 11th. I know, it's amazing, isn't it? If I'd not been called into the priesthood, or what I thought was my call to priesthood, I would never have made it back here. I am a stronger, better person because of God's plan and my pursuing of it. Irrespective of what someone says. Now, I thought that could be the end of it. But the day that I got rejected, I got a text message and an email off a very, very, very good friend saying, this job looks interesting, Bob. I think you should have a look at this. And so I did. I had a couple of days to apply for this position. I applied and got told on the Thursday afternoon, we want to see you Saturday morning for an interview. I went Saturday morning and they said, oh, yeah, we like you. So I got a phone call, well, an email Tuesday night saying, Friday morning you need to be in Milton Keynes for a second interview. I need you to fill in this 3-hour application form and present for 10 minutes. As well as working 8 till 5 every day of my life as well. But two Fridays ago, I went down to Milton Keynes to the head office of Scripture Union the people that write the light material and do schools work. And I went in expectant that if this was God's plan, that he would make it happen. A few days ago, I got a phone call saying, we loved you. We think you're perfect for this role. Your experience matches up. Providing your references and your DBS check come back. Jeff, please be gentle on my reference. 1st of September, I start working for Scripture Union as development worker for Nottingham and Derby and the whole region. Now, when I got rejected for the priesthood, I could have just been, well, that's it. I'll just stay at the council. What's the point? But I didn't. I continued to pursue because I knew that God had a plan. And as strange as it is, I feel so happy about this post because my last 15 years in ministry have been with young people, children, and the leaders of them. What's this job doing? It's working with the leaders of them and children and young people. Now, God's plan can seem really strange, and I'm sure Elijah at this time was like, are you sure, Lord? I'm one person about to go and contend with thousands of people. I'm going to stand in the middle of them and put you to the test. Put you on the line, because that is what you've called me to do. So the test was set. Bring down fire on the offering. So the Baalites started. I love the fact that Elijah was like, you go first. And it says from the morning until the noon, they were dancing around like, send the fire. And then at noon, they started to offer themselves, their bodies, and were slashing themselves and a whole manner of horrible stuff, because that's the way they thought their God answered. And I love the fact Elijah just stands on the sideline like, is he asleep? Knock, knock, wakey, wakey. Maybe he's traveling. He'll send a postcard. Now, can you imagine? These people have been at it for hours. And he's just like, are you done yet? Can I have a go? So there was this moment he was so confident in his God that he taunts them. The look on their faces as he suggests that Baal's sleeping would be amazing. And then the evening time comes. And Elijah just says, all right then, let me have a go. And with such precision. I love the Old Testament, that the way that it describes down to the minutest detail. Like the ark. Like we can rebuild the ark because it's got the dimensions. Like, what? Not that we need to know them, but it shows it could have. It did happen. But it proves to everyone else that it could happen. So with such precision, he rebuilds this altar that he'd made. And in this act of defiance, like, yeah, I want to show you that my God is the real God. 4 large water jugs. Gets them to pour it all over the offering. And not to be content with just a little bit of water. He's like, and again, go on, one more time. So this thing would have been soaking. It says that the trench was full with water. Now, when have we ever been so confident in our God that we would pour water over the offering? When we're out with our friends and with our family, when have we been so confident in God's call, confident in God's plan, that he is the God over everything, that we'd even add extra stuff on? That is where Elijah was at. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the church's birthday, didn't we, with Pentecost and the coming of God's Spirit. Now, we have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead living within us. The same Spirit that hovered over the waters and made the whole of creation living within us. The same power that did this miracle. Now, Elijah would have known the Spirit at work in his life, but not to the extent that we do. It comes to live within us. Have we forgotten that it is that powerful? Elijah certainly hadn't. When he prayed, God answered. He didn't pray long-winded prayers that God would show his power or anything else. He just said, God, you are the God of Israel. You are the God over everything. Come. And what does God do? Bam! Like, the whole thing goes up. And not just like the offering. I love the fact that God goes above and beyond. That every single particle of water that was within that whole offering, within the trench, was licked up and gone. For hours the prophets had tried on their own. From a place of following their own desires, to then have one single man of God come in and turn their lives upside down. All it took was that one person to have faith, to be bold enough to go in and proclaim, repent. A person without God's spirit within them 24/7. Elijah didn't have that spirit 24/7 like we do. Yet this whole nation fell on their knees and said, surely he is the God of Israel. How much more should we be willing to tell other people? Encouraging and equipping each other like we are this morning. I love the fact that there's more of us starting to come on a Sunday morning. Some weeks it's felt a little bit, hello, hello, hello. But we're here because we're passionate about the gospel. We're passionate about meeting together to be shaped and to change, to be changed, to love and care for one another. And I always think, why should the Old Testament have all the cool stories? The amount of times that, like this one, where the miraculous happens, and then we sit here like, oh Lord, maybe if you're willing, maybe you do this, that'd be lovely. Now Claire, Jake, the family, all of us have been praying, not, oh, maybe, maybe. We've been praying, God, we know you can. And God is doing. There's no doubt on that one. God goes above and beyond anything that we could think or imagine. What did Jesus say in John 14? I love these words. He says, John 14, verses 12 to 14. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Like, obviously, there are a few stipulations. Like, when I pray to become a millionaire, God isn't like, all right then, I can do anything. Like, there's partially, like, God's will involved in all of this and following his call for our lives. But if we ask, we seek, we follow his voice, then he will do it. Just as he did with Elijah amongst the prophets. So what do we learn? What do we gain from this? What do we gain from these 19 verses that were written thousands of years ago? We learn that there's two choices. There's the easy way of just plodding along, living life like, yeah, everything's all right. I love most people, but it's fair enough. Or we look to the God that loves us. We look to the God that cares for us, that has remarkable plans for us. Not just for this moment, but for eternity. It's not the easy option, but it makes us into better people, stronger people, forgiven people, loved people. It makes us into eternity-focused, expectant people, but not perfect people. I don't understand why the church gets that title of being perfect people. I hate it, because I'm not perfect. And the moment you mess up, everyone's like, oh. But that's not right. We are forgiven people. We are people that strive to love one another and to love God. So it teaches us that we can trust in a God who does the miraculous, that goes above and beyond what we expect, gives us a plan and a power beyond any compare. So what do we need? We need a faith that is expectant of what God can do. Every time that I walk into church, every time that I go to work in the morning, every time I do anything, I go in expecting that God will do something. I pray every day before I go to work, asking for conversations, expecting that God will answer it. And he does every single day. We now have a prayer meeting every week in Notts County Council. It's unheard of generally, but we hold one every week now. I'm expectant for what God will do. We need to have ears that listen out for God's prompt and a life filled with power. So the question we need to ask ourselves this week is, what can we do to show and to share the power and the love of God with those around us? What conversations can we have? What prayers can we pray? What offering of sacrifice can we give? Elijah put everything on the line because he listened out for God. He was expectant for what God would do, and he was faithful to that call. Let's not pick the easy option this week. Let's ask God to speak to us and use us in all that we do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God that loves us, the God that cares for us. You are the God that's got a plan that we could never comprehend, but is so amazing that we can't wait to be in it. Lord, would you show us your plan this week? Would you give us expectant hearts? Would you give us chances to share your love and your care with those around us, with our friends, with our families, or with strangers that we meet that you prompt us to talk to? Lord, may we have the faith like Elijah did, that you can do the miraculous. Lord, help us not to get stuck in the mediocre, but to get stuck into the power that only you can give. In Jesus' name.
And again now and sing our offertory.